think we have come to the point now where we have ended the agenda as far as what we can take until afternoon. But I, Bob, what do you have?
Your discretion, but item 8. So there's a public hearing held next month when the commission...
Emergency reg.
Yes.
Yep, understood.
So that could be taken at your discretion.
Let's take it up.
That's okay.
That's one that I don't think it's going to be controversial with a lot of input. If somebody comes in and wants to comment, we'll let them. But anyway, I think it's... And this shouldn't take too long, I don't believe.
It won't now. So, you may know a little bit about importation, and this is about importation and the code. We have a code that pertains to importation, and we also have a regulation. It's here, 4 VAC 2754, 10 in sequence, pertaining to importation. That regulation developed on the basis of importing clam seed and then oyster seed, and from Florida hatcheries and also from northern hatcheries. That's how that all developed. I want to think it's about 14 years ago, but, I mean, you know what happens to time. Today it's about the importation of the European green crab, or just green crab. And just a little background, ballast water, just as, you know, VIMS in the past has indicated that MSX was a ballast water situation. Dr. Burson, formerly of VIMS, indicated that. You can see there was some spread through time by the 50s in Nova Scotia. And there are breeding populations. Virginia's thought, from what we've been able to research, and it's been within the last week or so, a very small breeding population. So I give credit to Ethan for doing this research to prepare this, and that's always a big help. So, you know, we find that there have been effects on other species. It's very difficult to find a non-indigenous or a non-native species that does not have deleterious effects on native species. I mean, we know that from many different venues. So small shore crabs, clams, juvenile small oysters are most susceptible. So green crabs can't get to the larger size shellfish, but they certainly can get to the smaller size shellfish. So it's a pretty good predator. Today what we're going to ask the commission is a situation that we do already have a code section, which you can see here. And if you look at subsection A, or paragraph A of the code, you can see that there certainly are pretty strenuous guidelines. So you just can't import anything into the Commonwealth for the purpose of putting it into our waters without it being listed. Now, we know our list is a regulation by virtue of the first list, essentially, that we've had was for clams and oysters. And there's also shell stock involved, not just seed. So the other thing is that you get permission from the commissioner for such a importation. To back that up, a number of years ago, we developed the regulation, specifically Section 30 of Chapter 4 VAC 2754 deals with approved species and criteria. And what's occurring here is law enforcement has concerns that certain courts are not going to look favorably at the situation of the code section or the regulation, because when you think of the regulation, it's permissible. It says what is lawful. It does not say what's prohibitive. So right now, when you look at the situation of our regulation, it's lawful to bring in certain species, oyster seed, oyster shell, shot stock, mercenaria seed, mercenaria clams, hard clams. There's nothing about prohibitions. And Commissioner, I, Ms. Block, all agreed that there already are provisions. The problem that we're asking you today is to help is that the courts, that there are some judges who they will say, we don't see anything that prohibits this. And you could probably spend a lot of time trying to educate the process, but it's going to be easier to just move forward and establish prohibitive language. So we have an emergency amendment to include language that explicitly prohibits the importation of European green crab. And it's very straightforward, and it's in the same chapter or regulation, so it shall be unlawful for any person to import any species, including the European green crab, Carcinus manus, that is not on the list of approved species in Chapter 754, with the intent of placing such animals into the waters of the Commonwealth. So again, this isn't new. I can remember this going back quite a while. It's not a perennial problem. Bait and tackle shops import them in, and I suppose Maine is a pretty good place to get the importation. It's a nice bait for tautog, I understand, and maybe some others, but tautog is often cited. So one little problem which has kept law enforcement from going to some, you know, prosecuting some cases or issuing summonses is the fact that if they're dead, does that matter, putting it in the water? Well, the question is not whether they're dead or alive. The question is, why were they imported in the first place? So why do these bait and tackle shops have green crabs? Yes, they have had them off and on for several years, but the idea is that this prohibitive language will allow any court to see that the importation cannot go forward. The other benefit here is that this situation could come up again. We might find another species that we have to make it very clear that it's a prohibition, and so this is a placeholder for that as well.
Any questions?
Some more information.
I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Yeah. Just some more information about Maine. So Maine has quite a population of green crabs, and you can see that the governor in previous years asked for a task force, so taking it pretty seriously. Ethan offered me the 138-page report. I declined only because of what we're doing right now, and also the idea of how to mitigate these conflicts. So they're looking at, you know, having some type of a way to fish them, a commercial fishery for the species. And, you know, that probably is something that we should keep our eye on. Again, in Virginia, we don't know a lot, but we know there are green crabs that are, you know, reproducing to some extent, but not that we know to a great extent. So that's Maine. Our sister agency, Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, does require a permit to possess non-native species or non-indigenous aquatic nuisance species. There's also a Chesapeake Bay situation where they have a non-indigenous protocols that go back to the 90s. I think that goes back more to when gygus was considered for, you know, maybe importation into Virginia waters. But green crab is not what's in the Game Department's regulations. And Oregon and Washington states prohibit the importation of live crabs. I've read a couple of things with Washington State where they really are up in arms. So this is a pretty good thing that we're going to try and have the commission go forward with today. And that's the language again. And the staff recommendation is that the commission adopt the emergency amendment described in Section 35 of Chapter 4 of the AC 2754-10 in sequence. Staff also recommends this emergency amendment be part of an April public hearing to incorporate the amendment as part of the permanent regulation. So thank you, Commissioner.
Sir, can you put the language back up there for me, Rob, if you would, please?
One less?
The language, what the language was.
Mr. Zadron?
Having sat on the bench for a while, I would have a problem with the intent of placing such animals into the waters of the Commonwealth. That means the police officer, the water officer, has got to show an intent. You brought up the fact that these tackle shops, you know, sell them for bait. They could be dead. I don't know how that plays into this thing. Suppose you have a dead crab, and you can still place it into the waters of the Commonwealth. So, and if you look at the other comparison statutes here, you don't have nothing like that in there. Now go back to those other two statutes, two regulations.
Up front, one thing is quickly, no, they're not always dead from the tackle shops. Actually, it's live bait as well. So,
you see the way these are regulations are written here? It says currently requires permit for that possess these. That's all. There's no question about that. Is if you want to have them, you got to have a permit. And prohibits the importation, sale of species and so forth that are non-indigenous, but do not explicitly do that. There's no intent in that statute. It's either you comply with this or you don't. The next one from Oregon, Washington, same thing. Explicitly prohibits the importation of live green crab. And see, I see that Oregon is having a problem there too. Oregon permits take a for any commercial purpose. So you got to prove it's for commercial purposes. So that's not good when it comes to law enforcement. Now let's go back to ours.
The one that I have the answer.
Right there. It should be unlawful for any person to import species inclusive that is not on approved list. Why don't you stop right there at the end of that A?
True. That's good.
And if can you remind me what the code section is?
825.
Thank you.
28 to 825. That's good.
In the code section.
And also, it shall be unlawful for any person to import. What's wrong with or possess?
Right.
Well, your staff person had possess in there, but counsel indicated, and I think she's looking now, that since there is a code section, 28.2.825, you have to stay within the confines of that code section. The only other thing I could think of is if we wanted to do possess, we would do a separate regulation.
I don't know what we need to do, but possess needs to be in there somehow, some way. Do you concur?
Yeah. Well, again, what about green crabs that are already caught in Virginia waters? You going to make those illegal to possess?
Yes.
So
you have no need to have one. I mean,
you'd rather us return them to the water?
Are you going to bring them in and why don't you kill them and throw them back over?
Well, then that would have to be the regulation.
Just like a snakehead.
Well, that could be.
But
they are being caught. All right.
Let me just clarify here. 28.2.825. It shall be unlawful for any person to import any fish, shellfish, or crustacea into the Commonwealth with the intent of placing such fish, shellfish, or crustacea into the waters of the Commonwealth. And then it's unless one of the following conditions exists, including if it's from a list adopted by the Marine Resources Commission. So that language is in the code section. That's not something we just came up with. And it doesn't say possess in the code section. It just says import. So if we want to put possess in there, I'm going to have to look and see if we have some authority somewhere else to prohibit basic possession with the intent or possession at all. Not saying that we might not have authority to prohibit possession, but it's not going to come from this code section.
Well, what worries me is to import is a continuum. To possess is instantaneous. I think. I'm not a lawyer. Mr. Ballard?
And with Maine trying to create a commercial fishery and a market for this item, I'm not sure what effect that would have on it. But if they are selling these as crab cakes or some form of commerce, that might be something to think about as well. If we make it illegal to possess it, would that prohibit seafood dealers from carrying this item?
If I may,
I hope so.
So if I may, we have that situation. So we had that situation with river herring. You know, river herring is under moratorium, no possession, but we do. If you have bill of lading and for transport, you can do it that way. Even striped bass is that way. So that wouldn't be an obstacle. But again, the possession, Splock and I did talk about that. I had it in my first draft, and I understand the reason why If it's not within the statute that way, it can't be there. So the question is, would the commission rather that we start a new regulation and have possess in there?
Dr. Neary, go ahead.
I guess the way this whole thing is set up, you're only allowed to bring in these particular clams and oysters from these certain places. And the way that reads, if you're saying, well, that means you can't bring in green crabs, and you're trying to clarify that now, but that's telling me I can't bring in anything that's not on this list from another state. I couldn't bring in blue crabs from North Carolina. I can't bring in ballyhoo from Florida.
No, it's not indigenous. It's not, you know, blue crabs are.
Does it say that?
Yeah.
That's not, no, read it. That's not what it says.
Yeah.
It says import any species from another thing. And so, you know, it doesn't say an invasive species or anything like that. The way it reads, if you're saying that because it's not on this list, you can't bring this species in, well, you can't bring any of them. And if you're going to start broad brush, I mean, you're looking at species that we bring in all the time.
Just to clarify, that is true whether we put this language in the regulation or not, because that's what it says in the code section.
Right.
So we can clarify that in the regulation.
It means right now we can't bring in bluefish from another state. And the way this reads, I mean,
I think 825 is, you know, a situation that can be clarified by the regulation. I don't have the entire 754, the chapter 754 in front of me, but I know when we talk about oysters, for example, we go ahead in that regulation and define other jurisdictions, which you can bring in oysters, for example. I think we'd spend a lot of time to try and go after bluefish and everything else, as you're suggesting.
I don't think that was ever the intent. But if you read it, that's what it says. It says you can only bring these things in. And so by, you know, anything else we bring into the state with intent of using it, any kind of bait, anything we're putting in the water, it's saying we can't bring in anything. And which would mean all that ballyhoo and bishop's tackle shouldn't be here. You know, if that's would be how we're going to apply
it. We're going down there right now.
I agree. It's clear why the regulation was developed for oysters and clams. The idea of any other species was not part of.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
And one of with John's thing with that intent to the waters of the Commonwealth, again, the way that's reading, it would be perfectly legal to bring in a bushel of green crabs from New Jersey with the intent of using them as bait at the Triangle Wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are not waters of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And so I mean that, so then you know that I don't see how anyone couldn't beat this at all. Well, no, I don't intend to put them in the waters of the Commonwealth. I'm taking them out I'm going to fish outside of the Commonwealth waters.
Kelsey,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Block, I thought you had a comment. Your hands indicated you did, but anyway.
My hands are if that's the
frustration.
That's the statute.
Okay.
We can't change the statute through the regulation and. This is a class one misdemeanor. I'm not sure that we can take out the intent portion of this misdemeanor in the statute through regulation. I don't think we have the authority to do that. So this is what we're working with.
In other words, what we have as far as regulation, proposed emergency regulation at this point is the best we've got to work with. To keep in mind, it could use some study between now and next month. Does that distill it down pretty good?
Yeah.
One other question.
Dr.
This is I'm not an attorney, but I'm sitting between a couple of them. All right. Again, with this intent rule, I mean, what would stop Wilcox Bait and Tackle from bringing in a bunch of live green crabs, putting them for sale, and putting a sign not for use in the waters of the Commonwealth? And selling them for use as bait outside the waters of the Commonwealth. I mean, how would that, by this regulation, how would that be illegal?
Well, the part that's legal is they're going to be outside the waters of the Commonwealth.
Right. So I'm saying any decent attorney should be able to beat this. So we're trying to make it easier for law enforcement to get convictions, and I'm not sure that you're doing anything. And I don't know, when I was looking into this with the commission, he sent me something where it worked. And after I started thinking about it, I don't know how this guy got convicted. If he had a good attorney let you just come out and say, yes, my intention is to go to the Bay Bridge Tunnel and use this as bait. But if you say my intention is to use this bait outside state waters, I don't see how that's even legal with this clarification.
Well, I think Mr. Zedron had a good point, except the possession's not in there. So, but it would have to be based on what Ms. Block has been telling me and now telling the commission, it would have to be a separate regulation. And the problem is the bait and tackle shops. So in a way, wherever the green crabs end up for a fishing activity, it's the fact that they are brought into the bait and tackle shop, and they are sold live. So you did see the information on predation. I'm not sure that if it's in federal waters that gets us off the hook, because it's a situation that it's the bait and tackle shops.
I think what we need to do, and I'll go back to the first regulation. If you read that first regulation that we have literally, as far as
the list.
Well, what it says, it shall be lawful to.
Yes.
It's not on there, although it's kind of a weirdly written reg, because most laws say what you cannot do. I still think it's enough to sustain a conviction. But what I think we should do is consider adopting what we have as a patchwork method. I don't know how many cases we have pending. Colonel, do we know if we have any?
We're aware of it.
None that were pending right now, and do some study, or we can simply put it off for a month. And actually, a nod from counsel. I would have no problem putting it off for a month, and try to find somehow, some way, Ms. Block, in all due respect, if we can, to get possession in there. If we get possession in there, regardless of where it is, it's illegal. You can't possess them. We don't care what you're going to do with them, how you're going to do with them, anything. It's like other things that are illegal to possess. We don't have to prove what your intent is. So if we can find a way to do that, if not, Mr. Zedron, Your Honor?
I think putting a piece of patchwork in the puzzle is the wrong thing for
them. I agree. Okay.
Yeah. So staff thinks that it should be a new regulation, and put it off for a month, and we'll come back again with an emergency regulation that has possess in it.
If we can.
Yeah. I think we could a new regulation, Ms. Block. Is that correct?
I have to look.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'll be calling you. The other part of this is, how do we, the little problem that's been identified in that this doesn't say non-indigenous or non-native in the code. And I don't know when that code section, it's probably listed at the bottom as to when that came about. But
so are you saying you give me some work to do with the legislature next year? Because I really don't want any.
I think we could, it's our list. So we can make a list of the approved species. And if we want to say, you can bring in indigenous species into the Commonwealth, I don't see why we can't do that through regulation.
Well, that's what staff would be interested in. So Dr. Neal's information there is pretty valuable. And I think that if we're going to do something, we ought to make it clear what's approved and what's not approved in a regulation, and put a big net around everything, that the crabs, the bluefish, the croaker, anything that, that we know there was no intention to keep out of our waters. So,
Okay, well, we've got some very, very intelligent minds that can work on this thing for the next 30 days and come back with a with a solution or whatever.
First of all, I think we're kind of closing the door after the cows already got out. They've been here for 200 years. They're going to get here. My personal opinion, they've already taken over the bay if they're going to. But on the off chance I could be wrong and we're actually doing something, It just needs to be something simple. It's illegal to possess green crabs in the state of Virginia. Period.
That's what I'm looking for, and I'm looking for a method to get there. So if the police commission by consensus will pass this matter over until next month. The police commission?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. That's, I think, all that we have. Has lunch arrived by chance? Do we know? Or?
Just public hearings. So coming up after this, yep. 9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, we will be in recess, but I'm going to say right now, until noon or shortly thereafter. Thank you.